No playing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to D20 Dudes, a tabletop role-playing podcast where we will own you as our vampiric cattle. I am Dylan.
Ooh, I'm Molly. That sounds intense, like camping.
It be how it be do.
It do and be today, how it do. All right.
We're going to talk about Clan Samishi.
You said it's the most complicated.
They are pretty damn complex.
And you did not tell me why.
I gave you a few bullet points. So Samishi underwent a lot of changes from where we've been speaking on things in Vampire the Masquerade. I've only got 5th edition source books. I've only played 5th edition. The whole World of Darkness thing is, like, I think it's really, really cool. I like the system. I like the setting. I like all the world building. It's very neat, but it's very new to me. I'm not like a master of the system. I'm not your Lord of Arcane Lore or whatever the fuck you want to call it. But I do know that this particular clan underwent a lot of changes between the older editions of Vampire the Masquerade and the current edition of Vampire the Masquerade. The primary thing being they no longer have a unique clan discipline to themselves. So if you give me a second, I closed my browser because I do have the dumb brain.
Ooh.
But
wow. Yeah.
So
same.
It used to be pre 5th edition, their dominion, what are they called? Disciplines.
Dominion sounds right. Discipline sounds better.
Their disciplines used to be vicissitude, animalism, and auspex. Auspex we've talked about before, kind of lets you see the unseen, know the unknown, that kind of thing. Animalism gives you the ability to kind of manipulate animals and to some small degree take on their traits. But vicissitude was their unique discipline. It only occurred in Clan Samishi. And it allowed them...
So what's vicissitude mean again?
It's the discipline that allowed them complete dominion over their own flesh and the flesh of anyone they were touching. So what they would do in times past was they would shape themselves to be like their perfect form, or if they weren't good at it, they would like become grotesque and like just otherworldly, very alien looking for vampires. They're a lot like the Dark Eldar of the Vampire the Masquerade world, because they just really loved like flesh crafting. So like to them, humans were a lot like just clay. They would have these clans of ghouls. They called them revenants because they ended up breeding these ghouls and then interbreeding these ghouls. And they've got like, I believe like 4 major inbred clans of humans that have been ghouled so long and like then bred when being ghouled, and then the children were ghouled, and then all this stuff happened. So like they're basically like little miniature vampires in their own crazy inbred fucked up ghoul society. And that's why they've been called revenants, because they have vampire blood so just ingrained in their genealogy now that they tend to manifest disciplines even without being embraced or without being directly ghouled. Like they just have that in them. And then
kind of reminds me of the collectors from Mass Effect.
I don't know. I only played the first 2 Mass Effect games.
Well, it was in the second
one. I don't remember that very well.
I was thinking. That's okay.
But
you just need to replay it. Like, what are you doing?
Nah. But they would take a lot of these ghouls that they have, a lot of these revenant families, and since they were already so like crazy and indoctrinated, they would like take them and they would shape them into these horrible monstrosities, and those would become like their troops. They're like shock troops they would send out. Like they wouldn't do a whole lot of fighting on their own. It'd be like, cool, we're gonna send in these crazy ass monsters we've made to go and do all the fighting for us.
Just like Mass Effect.
Secondary to that There were some that were incredibly good at sorcery, a specific type called Khaldunic sorcery, where they were like bound to the land that they lived in, and if they were practiced enough and skilled enough, they could like summon the spirits of the land and warp them to use magic. And that made them very much at odds with the Tremere, who of course use their own blood sorcery. But come 5th edition, a lot of that has been really dialed down and reeled back, where, you know, in 5th, you're not like these great mighty vampires of the old lineages using the great powers that the Antediluvians have bestowed upon their bloodline. Like, you're kind of just, in 5th edition, a fledgling vampire of a very low generation, really just trying to find your own way. And because vicissitude is part of a specific bloodline of the Semishi, it doesn't really manifest in the newer Semishi, because the ones who use that particular power, the reason they have it is because they bound themselves to a demon named Kapala. And that demon manifests in their vampiric bloodline, gives them this power, but it's also implied that it's why they're so paranoid and crazy, beyond the fact that they're vampires and all vampires are paranoid and crazy. Because while they managed to bind this demon to themselves, the demon managed to use its link to their bloodline to get to their antediluvian and start influencing the whole bloodline from the top down. So while it is bound, it is influencing them very heavily. So as a result, the Semishi, they don't really fall into like the three categories where like you've got the Camarilla, you've got the Anarchs, and you've got the Sabbat. They don't really fall fully into any one of these. Like the kind of crazier Semishi who still do all this crazy flesh crafting, they live in these very insular societies where they've made like these insane inbred families where they're constantly playing these political games against each other. They like have leaders to a point, but while a leader is elected to serve for the rest of their own life, they're usually very quickly killed with either political or literal physical traps, and then someone new has to be appointed the position, and like they're constantly dancing around each other, while at the same time the Semishi have kind of this air of being very noble, almost like they appear like very intelligent and inquisitive. And they have kind of this idea of like they are a noble entity above the people, and they have this sense of noblesse oblige, but they do it because they believe themselves to legitimately just be superior to everyone else.
Well, you did say that they control the way that they're perceived, so that makes sense.
So their new disciplines come 5th edition are Animalism, Dominate, and Protean. Whereas the old Semishi, they do not have the ability, they don't have the discipline of dominate. They then had to force compliance and indoctrination through torture and fear. So they would use this vicissitude ability that they have to like turn themselves into either what is most terrifying or what is most alluring to their victim, and use that to psychologically manipulate them until they were just completely subservient. Whereas the new Semishi do have the dominate ability, they have the animalism ability still, and they have Protean, which Protean kind of still allows them to shape their own flesh a little bit, but not to such a great degree. They can do things like grow their fangs larger or grow claws, turn into a cloud of mist, that kind of thing. But they can't really turn people into couches the way that the old Semishi used to. Now, because of their very odd origins, they do have a really weird, like, background. So they're antediluvian, they simply call the eldest. The eldest, whoever they were before they were embraced, just kind of doesn't matter, because it couldn't possibly matter given what happened during their embrace. There is a legend that suggests that the eldest was an experiment, whereas Enoch was seeking to expel all of his bestial qualities, kind of embrace something using a modification of the Protean discipline. I think they called it the Beast. But during that embrace, took all of his worst qualities, all of his like rage and greed and all of that stuff, and manifested that into the embrace. So kind of like took all of its worst qualities and put it into the vampire that he embraced. And while it got all these bad qualities because of the way that that came about, it also instituted like the ideas of like whimsy and change and intuition and like weird imagination, which the eldest then showed after its embrace. And the eldest started wandering around in Europe, you know, doing the things that vampires do, until it became tied to Kapala, the demon who was bound to Eastern Europe, which have culminated in them gathering in the depths of the Carpathian Mountains and mostly freeing the spirit from its chains to the land. The werewolves in the area were definitely not for this, but the Samishi managed to fight them off, and Kapala was mostly set free, except it was bound to the Carpathian Mountains, which it could not leave, and to the clan itself. So because of that, this demon started influencing through the blood of the Antediluvian all of this entire clan. And it created this legendary singular night of the Samishi, like their vicissitude powers were heightened to such incredible levels, and their magic from their bond to this demon became so powerful that for like one single night, this clan was likened to gods. And this, of course, pissed off the werewolves. So the werewolves have this big, like, you know, vampires and werewolves don't like each other on the best of days, but the Samishi specifically, they will go to great lengths to root them out and kill them. And from this point, they had kind of this way of doing things. I mentioned earlier that they kind of had like these insular inbred families where they were doing all this stuff where they were like kind of playing political games with each other and all that stuff. And they would do that in remote regions. They would basically like be the lords of a town or a village, and that town and or village would be kind of their feeding stock and also who they would look to for, you know, their future embraces to continue the clan.
Is our clan involved in, like, I don't know, the Habsburgs in Europe?
Don't know. I can tell you that Vlad Dracula was Samishi.
Mm.
And let me tell you, the Samishi are pretty fucking pissed that that Vlad Dracula has a whole fucking book written about him. Oh, man. They're like, ah, shit, this asshole. He's all famous and shit now. Why does he get to still be alive? Mm-hmm. This is bullshit. Like, Dracula is the biggest masquerade breach, and they don't even necessarily believe in the masquerade. Like, because, of course, they believe that they are superior to all humans and should just be able to do whatever they want to do. But are still smart enough to know that, like, if all the humans understand that we're here, they're going to come kill us. So they don't, you know, make it well known. But then part of the problem came with, you know, modernization. After the Anarch Revolt and when the Anarch faction was created, a lot of Samishi was kind of beaten up, during that revolt, and their clan started to decline, especially with the rise of Clan Tremere, which was created whenever, you know, Goatrix diabolized Salot, the supposed initial Tremere, and became the new head of Clan Tremere. Since they were so talented with blood magic, this kind of put them at odds with Samishi and their Kuldanic sorcery, or whatever the hell I called it. Like, it's fucking weird name. So those two clans hate each other, and the Tremere being so intrinsically entrenched into the Camarilla now means that the Samishi really don't care for the Camarilla, and they really didn't beforehand anyway, because, you know, they really just kind of wanted to be the lords of their own domains and do their own thing. And for a long time, they could do that. But with the start of kind of the Victorian era, you know, things started getting modernized. Travel started getting much quicker. People started being able to get from place A to place B much faster. And then you started getting things like the telegram, the telephone. And if something happened and a whole bunch of humans died, word of that could get across the world in just a couple days. So it meant that they had to start being very, very careful and very insular, and, like, you know, they can't do all these great atrocities that they once did. They had to start hiding more and more. But on the other hand, it led to this big medical revolution, and they learned, oh, this is what makes up the human body, and this is what sustains the human body, and this is the way that certain chemicals and things affect the human body. And that fed into their flesh shaping, meaning they were way, 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 way better at that. But because of their kind of insular and, you know, haughty, we're not going to let anyone dictate what we can and can't do kind of mentality, it meant that they really did kind of get left behind. They, especially like where the Samishi bases of power are, they're still very, like, I would say, most of them are at least 500 years old, and they definitely act like it. So they're not, like, up with the times. In modern times, you've got some crazy shit going on where, like, there's kind of the new clan Samishi, which are the people who they have at least in theory joined with the Sabbat, because the Sabbat do kind of have this ideal of the vampires are superior, we should do what we want, and also, fuck it, I mean, the fucking Gehenna War is coming anyway, and we should really just be murdering all the humans. But it's really more of like a lip service kind of thing. They're Sabbat, quote-unquote, but they still just kind of stay in their own domains and do whatever they want to do, with the very few who aren't that way, who are trying to, like, integrate with newer society, the newer embrace, the new childer, being the ones who can't use this vicissitude ability. And the ones from old clan Samishi, like, voluntarily don't use that ability. They have thrown themselves so deep into that sorcery, that Kuldanic sorcery, that believing themselves to be masters of the arcane is how they assert their superiority over others. I believe the only real major power that the Samishi hold in the modern day is, you've got, what's her name? Mayumi Shibasaki, who is a very powerful vampire in Tokyo who owns a company and exerts a great deal of like corporate influence in Tokyo. I've just dumped a lot of information on you, and you haven't really, you're like, oh man.
I'm just kind of absorbing it all in. I'm like, oh, ooh. But then you keep talking, and I'm like, oh, there's another thing. Oh, another thing. You know, it's like a river.
Yeah.
Also, I was thinking, like, if I wanted to make sure my food supply was, like, really high, but also, like, not too high, but they were, like, really intelligent, I'd probably do it like that one anime where it's like those little kids that are getting raised up to like 13 or so, and then demons come in and eat them.
The fuck?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's kind of a gigantic spoiler for it, but I forgot the name of this anime. It was very good, though. I heard that there's more in the manga, but that it kind of dropped off after a while. But yeah,
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. What do you? I'm high and I have ADHD. Okay,
I
mean, man.
I like my own share of fucked up manga. Or like anime and stuff. Like what the Yuki Yuna is a hero. That's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of those like dark twists on the magical girl genre kind of thing.
I'm Googling it. Continue talking, please.
So, organizationally, the Samishi were similar to the way Tremere did things, where whenever a Childer was embraced, they would be immediately blood bonded. And they had an incredible amount of control over the blood bond, where they could bond somebody, like they would embrace a new child, and then bond them. And it's like, okay, you are now bonded as my wife. And the bond is so strong and they had so much control that they could force that person to like constantly dote on them. Like the only thing they can possibly feel for this person they are bonded to is love and affection and like, you know, lust, whatever it happens to be, if they still do flesh sex things.
The anime is called The Promised Neverland.
I've heard about that, but I haven't watched it.
You should. It's really good.
And like the idea that like, you know, this blood bond forces them to feel a certain way is of course an artificial and completely one-sided emotion. And the Samishi just don't care. It's like, yeah, that's why I made them. So that's where like a lot of the politicking comes in, because like a lot of them, they don't want to feel this blood bonded forced emotion, or like they don't understand what's going on. And they try and weasel their way out of it. And a lot of them kind of they went the way of the Sabbat in that they learned how to perform Valdery, which is a specific kind of blood bond ritual that is like, it's a communal blood bond instead of a singular blood bond, where they will, all of them will bleed a little bit into a collective pool of vitae, and then they perform a rite over it, and then everyone drinks from it, and now everyone is bonded to everybody. So A, it's not as strong and one-sided as a traditional blood bond, and B, it will break any blood bonds you have. So if you perform the Valdery, you break out of whatever bond you are currently under. And the only thing that it really does is like for like a month or so, you feel pretty chummy with your buds. But as that bond begins to weaken over the course of a month or so, you know, it's like, whatever, I don't really care. We're just kind of, and, the Sabbat, they generally enforce it that like you have to perform the Valdery at least once a month to have this coven together. Otherwise, we're going to like basically hunt you down, because most Sabbat are unhinged and insane. So if they don't have this bond to kind of keep them grounded, they will just start doing crazy shit for no really good reason.
Fascinating.
And they're pretty nuts. They have these weird kind of. So they have these laws of hospitality between each other. Samishi, so like there's those rumors of like vampires, like they have to give you a certain amount of hospitality and all that. Like they have this way that they act that is kind of like noble and entitled. And that predominantly comes from the fact that, you know, Dracula is the biggest, most well-known vampire, and he is a Samishi, because they have these laws of hospitality between themselves that are like, they're not like the Camarilla tenets. They're just their own Samishi laws, with the host of a given land or household or whatever. They have to provide shelter and nourishment for 3 days and three nights, not counting the night that they arrived. The host will provide their guests with protection against third-party aggressors. They will suspend their interfamily grievances for the duration of the stay, and the best quarters in the home of the host are provided up to and including the host's own chambers. However, the guest has the obligation of a ritual exchange of gifts or services, respecting the host boundaries of their property, not needlessly angering anyone within the host or their family, or not staying any longer than the requisite 3 days and three nights unless invited to do so.
That sounds a little bit annoying if they were just to go, well, I hosted you, so I'm going to host you back, or something like that. Just get on each other's nerves.
Right? I'm sure they do, and that's just probably like, why many murders happened.
Like, just like mutual annoyance forever.
Listen, you may not realize, but we have a lot of these same kind of social laws here in the South. And yes.
I was thinking like mutual couch surfing.
Yes.
Just exchange. Every 3 days is just different. It's just an exchange.
So their weaknesses. These are another one of the things that have changed with 5th edition, which in the old days, this Mishi clan weakness dictates that whenever they sleep, they have to surround themselves with at least two handfuls of earth from a place important to them when they were immortal, which is odd because the Samishi consider a mortal life completely irrelevant. If you are mortal, you're literally just there to be cattle or clay for them to sculpt. So this it's kind of like this weird tie to who they were as a mortal that kind of chains them down. Failure to meet this requirement halves their dice pool every 24 hours until they can only ever use one die, and the penalty will remain until they rest for a full day amidst their earth. In 5th edition, the Samishi will choose a specific charge, being like a physical domain or a group of people or an organization they belong to, or something even more esoteric but like clearly defined, and they must spend their day sleep surrounded by that chosen charge. And this can mean still like they have to sleep in the soil of their homeland, or it could be that they're surrounded by like something that they currently rule, like a certain kind of people that they like, a clique that they belong to, or a building deeply tied to their kind of obsessive compulsive ways, a local faction that they belong to or something. And if they don't, they will sustain aggravated willpower damage equal to their bane severity upon waking the following night, which is worse because that can kill you quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And their clan compulsion is covetousness. When they suffer their compulsion, the Kendra becomes obsessed with possessing something in the scene, desiring to add it to their hoard. And this can be anything from an object to a piece of property to a whole ass human. And any action not taken towards this purpose incurs a two dice penalty. And the compulsion persists until ownership is established or the object of desire becomes completely unattainable. And one of the things that made a lot of these changes very controversial was that between the second and the revised editions, the Samishi were subjected to a change imposed in a book called Dirty Secrets of the Black Hand, which introduced the concept of soul eaters, who were aliens who reproduced by spreading the discipline of vicissitude. Which means that the Samishi clan were hosts of the soul eater disease. And while the soul eaters were then retconned out of the World of Darkness, some of their rules had to be maintained, primarily vicissitude being a disease.
But I thought they used it.
They did.
Like, I thought it was like a pro.
They certainly see it as so, but like, you know, it's crazy. World of Darkness is called World of Darkness for a reason.
That's complicated. But not in like a, that's complex. That's more in a why sort of
way.
Yeah,
that's why it got retconned out. Yeah, there was a lot of a lot of people really didn't like that when it happened around the revisions.
Like, I feel like you could have revised it to be like a different reason, right? I don't know. I'm not the writer of this. I just don't know if that was good storytelling.
Yeah. Well, like as new writers come in and they bring their vision, things get really goofy. As we can see in many things such as Warcraft or Warhammer 40K or
Dune.
Dune got... man. Mm-hmm. I feel for you, Frank Herbert.
I mean, I'm excited. You know, it's like, I'm excited there's more, but like, am I excited there's more?
I mean, that's really how, like,
I feel even, about a lot of things, right?
Even just between, like, from like book one to book two, it's kind of like, oh, this is not the same kind of story I was reading before.
Right? Or,
why does Duncan Idaho keep coming back?
Movie? I don't know. I thought he was dead. And in any case, that there's a lot of things that do that, like, say, season 8 of Game of Thrones, even if it was all the same writers. More like, I'm excited there's more of it, or, like, the Star Wars stuff on Disney, but I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if it's
sometimes
good.
Things just need to end. Star Wars Episode 7 like, was cool.
Oh,
Episode
there's
8
more,
wasn't.
And then you see it, you're like, oh, there's more. Ooh, there's a very fine line between those two things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why I struggle with these anime that go on for like 500 episodes.
Are you thinking of One Piece?
I'm thinking of a lot of things. Like, One Piece is one of them. Fucking Bleach, Naruto, even Dragon Ball started going like way off the rails.
At least Naruto, Dragon Ball, and apparently One Piece. I'm not 100% sure how that's working out, but I know that I have a friend who loves Bleach, and he has told me that Bleach just went downhill for like a very, very, very long time, and they just finally axed it recently off of Shonen Jump.
Yeah, like,
because he's like on top of all of the things, and so I trust his opinion on it, because Bleach was never something that really clicked for me.
I remember watching I liked it a lot when I was younger. Specifically, mm-hmm. because I remember there was one night I used to stay at my grandmother's house a lot whenever I was younger. And I remember being like 14, 15 years old, and my dad was visiting. And I didn't see my dad too often then. I see him even less now. But he was there. Mm-hmm. And that was back in, you know, my high school days when I would stay up to like 4 a.m. every morning and never sleep and all that shit. And I remember they had a marathon of the first 10 episodes of Bleach, like on Adult Swim. That was like all they were doing. And I remember me and my dad just sat and watched Bleach like all night. And that's just such a good memory for me, is just hanging out with my dad and watching anime. But it does just go like completely off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to a point where it's like, you can keep making it because you know it's a cash cow. Like, you know it's going to keep making money, but you're going to get so far away from the original vision that it's going to suffer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
It really is sad.
Yeah.
But, hilarious if it continues going a little, like, Fast and the Furious.
Or they don't give a shit that it's bad. They're actually banking on it at that point.
They just keep going, and, like, There's like a fine line between I'm excited there's more and I'm like suspicious there's more, and but there's not a fine line. There's a very distinct, very pleasant line between oh there's more and haha there's more.
Yeah, the Fast and the Vin Dieselius, like at this point it's there to be a joke, and they kind of like leaned
NCIS
into that.
Continuing, you're just like, why is this? What is happening? I don't know what's happening. I know someone knows what's happening because someone is really into this, but that's not me. And so I just get here for the vibes, the funny haha vibes.
Well, if you would like to contact us, we have a Facebook, facebook.com/d20dudes. If you want to find us on Twitter, it is twitter.com/d20dudes or @d20dudes on Twitter. We have a Discord. And the link for that is down in the description. Discord is public and open to everyone if you would like to join in. We do still have that writing contest going on, the creative writing contest that we mentioned last week. So if you want to write a little story for Spooky Month, hey.
Yeah. And I don't really participate in it, but I have been reading everything that's been posted because it dings on my phone every time. So... you know how Discord works.
As a Discord, whatever. Do. And if you would like to support us monetarily, patreon.com/d20dudes. If you want to chip in, just $3 a month gets you a shout out in every episode. Like for the people known as Molly, you, Jenny, Word, Zam, and Ken Thomas. These are my patrons. They are mine, and you can't have them.
I thought we were sharing. Well, we're not really sharing. But you said we, so I'm taking ownership of these patrons. These patrons.
Love to me. So we will.
You really are a goblin.
We will roll the d20 and see what next week's episode is going to be. Boot.
Boot.
I have rolled a 9. A 9 is a charisma check, which means next week we're once again just going to be talking about whatever the flippity fuck we want to talk about.
What the heck?
Hey, man.
We have so many.
I like those episodes because we tend to just like.
I like those episodes, but like, man, we have been rolling the same things.
We have.
Vampires.
Well, that's primarily because like vampire is like the only thing on the list right now because it's like the only system.
That's fair.
It's the only
I was trying to figure out if that's your list talking or if your dice is waiting.
A lot of it is the list because like there are like all these new systems that I've been wanting to check out. Like I put Morkborg on the list because Morkborg looks really
Are they fun. All vampires?
No. So what's
Morkborg?
Morkborg is, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I do know about.
Oh, you said Orkborg. Orkborg?
No, Morkborg with an M.
Oh, I heard.
Like.
Oh, I heard M the first time, and then I thought you said Ork. And
it's
Morkborg.
Morkborg, like Mork and Mindy.
Morkborg.
Yeah. So, like, I've got some stuff. Like, there's a few Pathfinder things on here. We haven't really gotten into, like, any of the Pathfinder 2nd edition stuff, but, like, unfortunately, like, Vampire is the one system that I've been getting into a lot lately that just has a lot of content to actually cover. So that's just what's been going on the list.
Yeah. How do you feel about Morkborgers?
You're an idiot.
What? It's a valid question.
So thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll catch you in next week's episode. Bye.
Bye.